I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Can you all hear me okay, I assume? My presentation is entitled Improved ET Simulation in a Series Maize Crop Model Under Limited Irrigation Management. This work has been published in Agricultural Water Management, and so while they're not listed on the title of this presentation, my co-authors are listed below, and if you'd like to learn more details about this, you can find that study. So we have a field experiment. This was done as part of my PhD research at Colorado State University. We're looking at limited irrigation agriculture, and the treatment set here, we have a fully irrigated control that we're looking at, and so you can see on the right, you have a very full canopy, tall crop. It's going to yield very well, very healthy, give it as much water as it requires. Whereas the crop on the left is a limited irrigation crop, and the treatment design, we essentially restrict water applications during the vegetative growth stage. So it doesn't have as much leaf area, doesn't have as much canopy, and consequently won't have as much ET during that stage of the growth. But then once we reach the reproductive stage, shortly before tasseling, we'll give it as much water as it needs and continue that throughout the season. Some of you might have been to my presentation yesterday. I'm doing work at the USDA ARS right now where our treatments are a little bit different, but essentially we're just restricting water during the vegetative growth in this set of treatments. So part of my goal as part of my PhD research was trying to take this data set and apply it to the series maize crop model and see how it related in terms of ET. This is the interface for the DSAP model, and some of you are very familiar with this. Some of you might not be. It's a numerical daily time step crop model. Any management inputs as far as planting date, planting population, that sort of thing go into it. Weather input is very important, drives a lot of the functions. Biomass accumulation. So it's a very dynamic crop model that does everything from the soil water balance to the crop growth and yield. So in the first, in a prior study, I calibrated the model and looked at it. And this is also cited at the bottom of this slide if you'd like to look at it. If we look at the ET, we're particularly interested in ET, especially in places like Colorado, because we're becoming water limited and we're trying to figure out ways that we can manage irrigation and crops to maintain high crop yields with less water. And in terms of legal implications, the ET is very important. So if you look at the observations, which are the blue lines on the top, the blue lines and dots are the observations, it does a fairly good job. It's understimulated just a little bit, but for the most part, in full irrigation, does pretty well. However, in limited irrigation, you can see that the model overestimates ET. And we found this through the 3 years that we looked at for calibration was a common theme. Now, where this becomes an issue is if we're looking at this in terms of water use efficiency, or difference between treatments. The difference between the observations, what we find in reality, is very large, but we see a very small difference in terms of simulation. So this is something that we want to try to fix. So we went to the model code, and we looked at how the code works. And it takes a long time to dig into a crop model and try to find the intricacies on how they work. What I really want to focus on today is kind of on the left side of the equation. So we're really looking at how the evapotranspiration is calculated and potential ET is calculated. That gets partitioned into potential transpiration and potential evaporation, and it all comes back together into ET. That all has feedback mechanisms into the water stress and goes back into the crop. So we'll look into this in a little more depth and hopefully a less confusing diagram. So the way this model works, first a reference ET is calculated. And then there's this equation in the model where basically you find a crop coefficient that's a function of leaf area index. and this EO ratio component, and that's the terminology used in the model code. But one way to look at it is a maximum KC. And then those two parameters are combined into a potentially T or a demand ET. So we did a sensitivity analysis to see how this affected yield and ET and leaf area index. So if we change this EO ratio parameter, this maximum KC value between 1 and 1.3, it really doesn't change full irrigation, but it does decrease limited irrigation yield. It hardly changes leaf area index at all, but it does change yield. As far as ET, total ET, it actually increases full irrigation and doesn't change limited irrigation. Now, what we're really trying to do is change the ET and the limited irrigation. Yield is good, so we're okay with that. We really don't want to change yield in either case. We want to change ET and limited irrigation. One thing I do want to note is that in the version of the model that I have, this EO ratio parameter is hard-coded to 1.0. So what happens with this equation, it makes KC 1.0. So those of you that are ET people, this is going to be really confusing to you, because how can you always have a KC of 1.0? What happens is that in the partitioning part of the model, it shakes out so that ET demand is limited by your available water. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So really we're looking at ways to change ET only. This is a little bit about the partitioning because I know my audience is here. We'll have some questions about it because it's very relevant. This function is made so that this potential transpiration is a function of your potential ET and as a function of your leaf area index. And this can be shaped in different ways. We also did a sensitivity on this, if we change the partitioning, how that matters. And again, it will increase your yield under limited irrigation, but not in full. Same thing with leaf area index, and has no change on ET, cumulative ET, very, very little. So knowing these two sensitivity analyses, we want to change how KC is calculated in this model, because changing these things doesn't really change the ET in limited irrigation. That's what our goal is. So if we did a literature review looking at comparisons of KC to leaf area index, and there really isn't a lot in the literature. I was kind of surprised. These are the few examples that I could find. There's a two-step function in there. There's a decaying exponential function. But really, it kind of has the same shape, and it makes sense because you start out with a very low KC when you have limited canopy cover, and that eventually saturates itself as you get high canopy cover. So I proposed a function that's very similar to the Deutschmann equation, where it's more or less a decaying function. So we define it by KC min, which we assume is 0.3, and we can change that number if we'd like to be higher or lower. We have a maximum KC or a ceiling where that decays to. This SKC is a shaping parameter, so it makes it go up steeper or flatter. And then leaf area index comes from the model feedback. So instead of having this KC as 1.0 all the time and having it shake out through the model, this leaf area index brings back into a more traditional KC. If we want to test and see what this looks like in a traditional crop coefficient form from FAO 56, this is very typical what you will see. Now, if we look at our leaf area index, and this is scaled down to put it on the same y-axis, using this equation, we get something that looks pretty close. It looks pretty good. This is what we see under full irrigation. So we know that we're on the right track with this. Again, going back to our data, we reapplied this to the model. So what you see here is you'll see old. So this is the old model. This is a previous version of the model. And you can see with the yield, does a fairly good job overall. But with ET, and this is full and limited irrigation thrown in together, but you can assume which ones are full and which ones are limited, because the full is going to have high yield and high ET, and vice versa. So if we look at yield in terms of how this model changes, again, you can see which ones are the fully irrigated ones because they didn't really change. And as we saw in a sensitivity analysis, changing that the maximum potential ET didn't really have an effect on full irrigation. So that was something that we expected. It did change the limited irrigation, but for the most part, the simulations are pretty similar. Regarding ET, this put things a lot more in line on the one-to-one line. So we feel that that we've improved that simulation using this new function. Again, we're looking at water use efficiency, or yield divided by ET. Because really, in the end, what we're trying to do is maximize this and find points that are very high on this line where we have a high yield per water use. So there's a lot of scatter with the previous model. And if we look at how this comes back in, towards the top, we have a few more in line. Towards the bottom, there's a little more scatter. But if you think about water use efficiency, these ones that are towards the top are actually the limited irrigation. So we're doing a little bit better on that. If we want to compare yield and ET and water use efficiency, we can look at root mean square error and then normalize it by mean observation. And so these can directly be compared to each other. For example, you can say looking at full irrigation ET has less error than any of the yields. So we're doing a better job simulating fully irrigated ET than anything else. But if you look at the error on limited ET, and especially limited water use efficiency, the old model, the orange that you see up here, does very poorly, and the new model with this change did a lot better. So it really brings the error much more in line for all of these simulations. Now, one interesting thing, and this kind of ties into the work that I'm doing right now at the ARS, we're trying to find a point on this water production curve that is higher than the line. A lot of literature will say that this is a linear relationship. Your yield versus your ET is a linear relationship. Our goal is, if you can find a point that's above this line, we're getting more crop per drop. And if we can have a management objective that brings us to that point, then that's something that we can pass on to producers. We took this new improved version of the model and looked at five different irrigation management scenarios. And again, you can see the details of these in the paper if you'd like to read about it, or I can explain more about it. But they're just different irrigation management scenarios. Most of them are in line, as you can see here, but the ones that are above that line are the limited irrigation, where we are stressing during the vegetative growth stage, but we're giving it lots of water after that. And this is very similar to what we're finding at our ARS scientific unit. Last year, we actually changed one of our treatments so that it is more like this, not necessarily because of this model, but because we've seen in the results of our study that there's points that are a little bit higher on that line. That's what we're really shooting for. So it's nice to see some model results that really tie into what we're seeing in the field and how they go together. Just as a side study to this, we looked at, if you limit that water during the growth stage, what if you limit it less and less and less? How does that change your water use efficiency? So using those 5 years of simulation, we had the same irrigation schedule that we originally had, but just programmed it with less water each time. And as you can see, the model pushes it back on that line. So the model at least says if you stress it during that time, you can get more yield per ET. So again, this is supporting the claims that we're discovering in our study, this field study as well. So in conclusion, the original version of the model works well under full irrigation, but it overestimates ET under limited irrigation. So we wanted to make an improvement to this module. So we made more or less a dynamic KC that's a direct function of leaf area index and a few other parameters. And it really goes in tune with established crop coefficient techniques. It's more... It's similar to what you will see in the FAO 56, in my opinion. We did see a reduced error for ET and water use efficiency under this limited irrigation using this model change. And we might be able to find treatments that can increase water productivity under under this limited irrigation. So to me, it's a very exciting study. I enjoyed working on it, and I think it really goes in tune with some of the meetings that have been going on here, especially the AgMIC community, who's trying to look at some of these ET modules. I know many of you were at the symposium yesterday, and many of you spoke at the symposium yesterday. There's a lot of good work going on. There's a lot of good work that's about to happen as far as assessing these models and directly comparing these models. And to me, this is an example of a study where we can look at it in a different way that's been done previously and try to make a change that improves this model. I would be curious to see how this change would do in a different model, such as root zone water quality model or something else. It is an empirical relationship. It's not a physically based relationship, but it is something that works, in my opinion. So with that, I will take some questions. I'm sure I might have some questions from that side of the room. And if you would like to talk longer, if you think it's going to take longer, then we can talk after this too. In the equation, or how is this line determined? Okay. I'll go back a little bit here then to explain this briefly. So we calculate a reference ET, which is this equation in the upper left, and that's a grass or alfalfa-based reference ET, so that's under a standard surface that's kept the same. What this crop coefficient is a scaling parameter. So you multiply this KC value by, it's not directly, no. Yeah.
You want to continue? A brief, very brief for the Sashi.
If yeah, I mean, my concern is this crop coefficient basically converts the potential to transpiration. This is actually based on crop coefficient.
Mm-hmm.
Means transpiration. So this is transpiration. What if multiply ET 0 with this KC, what you get is transpiration. And you put in the model, you are giving model potential transpiration. Again, this is partitioned.
It's partitioned again, yeah. And I know that's one of the concerns about this study, but if you go back and you look at this partitioning, I like to look at the boundaries. So I mean, even if you scale down that ET, LAI is 0, well, your KC is going to be 0.3. So you're still at that point on the curve. When LAI is high, say it's 5, it's going to be close to that maximum KC or that top point of that curve. So the partitioning still works, and you can change the shape of this function. It's not necessarily partitioned twice.
Okay, we'll have a quick question from Dr. Pooti.
Go back to the ETO equation there. I wrote that for the crop grow model. It never got in for series because they insisted on doing their own certain thing. But that was only meant to scale up from the reference ET, 2.88, so that if you had a higher LAI, ETO would be above the reference. And that was my intent for writing that ETO ratio. That is not an attempt to get out of KC the way the engineers would do this, because there is a extinction coefficient on LAI that partitions already to P, EP, M, E. I still feel like it's doing it twice. It may be giving you better results, but...
Good comment. Yeah. Jeff, last time I stopped you, this time a quick... No? Okay. Okay, so thank you, Kendall. So we'll quickly move on.